Good to be back together with you, and I trust that you're ready for the Word this morning. As you can see in your bulletin, we're going to be walking down the pathway of talking about the Word of God again, and I'm going to continue talking about the Word of God until Jesus comes, because that is the focal point. Those that know Jesus Christ need to love Him and worship Him and honor His Word. His Word is faithful, His Word is true, His promises are yes and amen, and they never fail. All right. For those listening, I had to prompt them for that, so they don't get any credit. No, just kidding. I delight to speak about the Word of God because the Word of God is important. I was 16 years old. I had come to Christ when I was just a young boy of about 5 years old. And then I just kind of lived my own life and went to church with everybody else, but didn't really have any connection to the Lord. Until I was 9 years old, and during a missionary conference, a missionary spoke about dedicating your life to the Lord and surrendering it to Him. And I went forward that day and dedicated my life to the Lord for missions. And I felt God called me to be a missionary. But again, after the emotion is gone, the years rolled by, and I got kind of cold, and my spiritual life was pretty dead. I'd go to church. It's always important to go to church. But you know, something was wrong in my heart. At 16 years old, we had an evangelist come and preached, and he preached about total surrender. And that morning, I was really under deep conviction that my life was not what it ought to be. Even though I knew Christ as my Savior, it was not what God wanted it to be. So I went forward and dedicated my life to the Lord. And I went home that day and fell on my knees on my bedside and said, Lord, I want to give You my whole life. I want You to be the owner of everything. And that day I made a covenant with God, not because there's something good in me, but because those who taught us the Word of God taught us to do this. And I said, Lord, I have neglected Your Word. I have been in what we call JET Cadets, or the Awana program. It was a Bible memory program. And I was good at memorizing the Bible, but I was not reading my Bible on a regular basis. So that day I said, Lord, I consecrate my life to You right now. And for the rest of my days, every day, I will open Your Word, and every day I will read from it and listen to Your whisper. And I can say, I'm now 75 years old, and there are many days when I have failed. But the vast majority, I'd say 98% of the days, have been in God's Word, and it is a delight to be in God's Word day after day after day. This morning I want to speak to you from Psalm 1. It's the first psalm in the Bible. If you don't have your own Bible, pull out the pew Bible, because it's important that you see the Word and that you ingest it into your life. And by the way, how many of you have your own Bible here? Just raise your hand if you have your own Bible. Not many have their own Bible. When I was in what we call JET Cadets, it was a children's program of Bible memory. We did what we called Bible drills. Do you remember that? Any of you from that time? It was Bible drills. They said, Bible's up, and the kids would hold their Bible up. And then they would cite a passage and say something like, John 3:16. Get ready, charge! And you go, trying to find John 3:16. And the first one to find it would stand up and read John 3:16. The Bible challenge that helped us find our way through the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God well this morning, I suggest that you look to the middle. Look about to the middle of the Bible, and Psalm 1 is a little bit to your left, and you can find that pretty easily. Psalm number 1. It's a wonderful psalm, and it's a wonderful psalm to begin our year with, because it's all about the Word of God. And note it, God didn't accidentally put this number 1 in the Psalms. He deliberately put it first, because this is the blessing that comes to those that know Jesus Christ. The blessing of His Word. Let me read. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. I want you to notice the words that are being used here. Blessed are they that do not, starts out with a negative. My wife always says, you ought to start out with a positive. But the Lord says, I'm going to start with a negative here, because I want to point out the difference between the godly and the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. There's a progression here. to walk in the way of the world, to stand with the world, and then to sit down and really enjoy the world and neglect God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away, and therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May the Lord bless his word. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open the word to that first psalm that you have designated number one in priority of life, and you've called us back to the word of God. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. I pray that the word of God would penetrate deep in our hearts, that it won't be just another message, but it will be the message and the whisper of the Holy Spirit to our hearts saying, this is the way, walk in it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a couple things I want to point out in this passage, and then I want to bring an application and a challenge to you for the coming year. First of all, he says, blessed is the man. He's talking about the blessings of the child of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in his family and you are blessed. But you are doubly blessed when you walk with the Lord, when you continue in his counsel and his guidance. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. He's talking about don't go the wrong direction. Don't walk in the wrong way. When the scriptures use the word walk, it's talking about lifestyle. It's talking about your day-to-day existence. You can easily slide into the comfortable and doing what everybody else does, going along with the crowd, maybe not agreeing with the evil that's in our world, but you don't do anything about it and you don't counteract it, but you let the world squeeze you into its mold. But he says, blessed is the man who doesn't do these things. Blessed is the man who doesn't neglect the word of God. All through the Bible, God encourages us in the reading and meditation and memorization of God's word. The great pastor and evangelist George Mueller, who trusted God for the provisions for 10,000 children in his orphanages, had often said in his lifetime that he read the Bible through four times a year. I look at that and I'm startled. I said, wait a minute, you read the entire Bible four times a year? 1,096 pages in my Bible, and you read that four times? That means every quarter, every 13 weeks, he read the entire Bible through and through. How many of us could do that? Well, people came to him in his day and said the same thing. How could you do that? And he challenged them. He says, hey, I read the Bible through because it's important to me to have God's word in my heart. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time in the word of God. He says, friends often say, I have too much to do and so many people to see. I cannot find time for the study of scriptures. And he said, look at me. I run an orphanage of 10,000 children. Look at me. I'm traveling and evangelizing and speaking and preaching. And I'm pastoring or assistant pastor in a large church. And I write much. Don't tell me you don't have time. You don't have desire. That's the difference. See, a man of God, a child of God, one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, has time for God's word. Now, I'm going to share a quote from Derek Prince, who has a wonderful exposition of Hebrews. And as I read through his exposition, I was really taken by this quote. And I've given it to you often before. I'm going to do it again because I think it's so important. He says, you do not love God more than you love his word. Let that sink in. You do not love God more than you love his word. So if you want to know how much you really love God, how much place God has in your life, you can find out. It's not something you need to speculate about. You just ask yourself, how much do I love the Bible? How much place does the Bible have in my life? Because that is as much love of God as you have. And that the room for the Bible is as much room as you have for God in your life. Men of God throughout the history of the church have been men of the Word of God. W.A. Criswell, great pastor from Texas, began his ministry as a young man. And he stood before his congregation of over 700 people and he says, here's what God's put in my heart to do. I'm going to preach through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to go through the entire Bible, verse by verse. I'll preach it on Sunday morning and pick it up on Sunday night. And we'll do that week after week until we've completed the whole Bible. The leadership of his church said, Pastor, you will close the doors of this church. Nobody wants that tedious verse after verse. Nobody wants to go through those obscure passages. And he said, no, the Word of God is the Word of God, and it is to be preached in its entirety. He spent the next 18 years preaching through the entire Bible. And God rewarded him, not with people leaving the church, but people flooding the church till there was over 7,000 people worshiping God in that place, because the Word of God is important. The Word of God is precious to those that love the Lord. I love the J. Vernon McKee. J. Vernon McKee was a pastor that decided that he was going to go through the Bible verse by verse. And he did a radio broadcast, and he broadcast these expositions of Scripture. And he spent 5 years going through the entire Bible. I encourage you to listen to J. Vernon McGee, because you can find it on the internet and you can listen through the scriptures and the exposition in great ways. But it's not only pastors that consider the Word of God precious. It's lay people, people who are not preachers, that consider it important. D.L. Moody was not always a preacher. When he got saved, he became a Sunday school teacher. He didn't go to church and they handed him a Sunday school class. They didn't have room for another Sunday school class. So they said, go out to the streets and find your own Sunday school class and teach them. And so he went out to the streets and he taught children. And he continued to do that for many years. He examined the scriptures. He studied the scriptures on his own. He was a shoe salesman before he ever became a preacher, but became a lover of the Word of God. And he became eventually a great preacher. Remember Jimmy Carter? Jimmy Carter is still living today. He's in his 90s. Even while Jimmy was president of the United States, he still taught his Sunday school class. That's amazing. And he's still teaching it today. Here's a man, wasn't a great president, but I appreciate the fact that I had an encounter with Jimmy Carter many years ago, back in 1974, 75. We are at our annual council in Atlanta, Georgia, and he happened to be the governor of the state, and he gave the welcome to our Congress. And as he came down from the platform and walked down the middle aisle, I was sitting there with my elderly elder. He was 75 years old. Jimmy Carter walked down that long aisle, didn't greet anyone, but he saw this elderly gentleman sitting there, and he passed by, and he stood by him and patted him on the shoulder, said, God bless you, and he walked out. He got a vote to be president because of that, but I thought it was a thrill that this man gave his personal testimony when he stood before our Congress. Jimmy Carter was a man of God and is a man of God because he loves God's Word. Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be shamed. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, and they received and examined the scriptures every day to see if these things were true. It's important that we examine the scriptures. Blessed is the man who loves the Lord and his law. Now, when the verses talk about law, we need to understand he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about what they had at that time was the Torah, the five books of the Old Testament. But it doesn't just say law, because if you read in Psalm 119, 151 to 162, God gives us a bunch of definitions of what that law is. It's his commands, his words, his statutes, his ordinances, his rules, his promises, his precepts, his principles, his decrees, his laws, and his sayings. All of those things are lumped into this, the law of the Lord. The word of the Lord is precious to those that love him. We have much to say about this. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. Bibles up. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I cheat. I have it marked. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is an important passage. If it's not marked in your Bible, please mark it. If you've got a pew Bible, do not mark it. But find your own Bible. While you're looking for that, I want to share with you that in your bulletin, you'll find a verse at the end of each of the orders of service. After our prayer request, there's going to be a verse. And I'm going to do that for 52 weeks of this year. There's going to be a verse every time. And if you memorize every one of those verses and can cite those verses to me, I will give you, free of charge, a huge study Bible. 52 verses. Now, I know some of you can do that probably already. You probably know them by heart. Dan, you probably know all of them. Dan was in the Awana program. Sorry to embarrass you, but I'm proud of you. And he got the Timothy Award, which was for all the memorization of all those verses. And I bet he could stand right now and tell you all the verses of the Bible that he memorized. Not. But I wanted to challenge you to let the Word of God get into you. So start memorizing these verses as I give them each week. And then if you can do that, I'd be happy, more than happy, to give you a study Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. This passage right here is important. It was important for Israel. It was the summation that Jesus said sums up all of the commands of God. It was given to Israel, and they were to do it every day. They were to recite this, and they were to obey it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Why do I say this is the great Shema of the Old Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Jesus repeated that and he quoted it. He actually inserted a word in there in Mark. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. So he puts the mind in there as well. So the love the Lord your God, how do you know you love the Lord your God? You love the Lord your God when you love his word. The two are inseparable. Jesus said it in John chapter 15 and verse 7. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, if you love my word, if my word is in you, you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Folks, these are tremendous promises that God says. These are blessings that follow those that love the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of God. Ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I want to take those few words. First of all, delight, meditate, and then day and night. We are to delight in the Lord. We are to delight in his word. After preaching now for over 50 years, I have found many that have said to me very pointedly, I don't have time to read the Bible. If you ever say that to me, I'm going to ask you to turn over your cell phone to me and let me track how much time you spent on Facebook or how much time you've spent emailing or how much time you've just spent on your phone. You know that we are obsessed with our phones. It's almost impossible to go anywhere where you see a group of people where 90% of them don't have phones out and looking at the phones. I don't have time for the Bible. No, you don't have a priority for the Bible. Don't say I don't have time. You have all the time that anybody ever had in this world, including all the time that George Mueller had. You choose not to spend that time in the Word of God. Somebody else says, I'm too busy. I'm too busy for the Word of God. My friend, no, you're not too busy. If you're too busy for the Word of God, you're too busy. And you need to cut something out of your life. Because life is not about your achievements. The life is about Word of God. The Word of God that needs to be in you. It's a living Word. It's alive. It's the way that God speaks to our hearts. And when you drift away from the Word of God and say, I'm too busy for the Word of God, I don't have time for the Word of God, you're drifting away from the Lord. Every day that you miss opening the Scriptures, you drift away from the Lord. And for many of us, it's days without number. Not opening the Word, forgetting about it until Sunday morning, and then going to church and, I'm sorry, I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. You go to church and you don't even bring your Bible. And you know what I've heard from my own family? I can't find my Bible. My friend, if you're reading for the Word of God every day, you can find your Bible because you'll know exactly where it's at. Somebody else says, I don't like to read. I don't like to read. Wow. I have stories of many people that learn to read by reading the Word of God. You may not like to read, but God says, this is medicine for your soul. You may not like to take the medicine that brings about healing to your life, but you take it because it's good for you. Thank God we don't have to take cod liver oil anymore. Does your parents ever give you that? Our parents could come up with some awful, awful medicines that we had to take. We had to plug our nose and put that thing in our mouth. For those that are young around here, that are few in number, you won't remember those things because everything is sweetened. I remember one of the cough medicines that we had because we complained so much about the cod liver oil and all the other garbage that Mom would give us. It was Dr. Joseph's cough medicine. That tasted good. Pat remembers that, don't you? Oh, it's yummy. And you took it because it's good for you. I don't like to read, but it's important for you to read. When you're going down the street and you come to a stop sign, you're reading. You better be reading. It says stop. Doesn't mean spin tires on the pavement. I mean stop. Somebody else says, I don't read the Bible because it's boring. It's boring. And I challenge you, if that's your excuse, would you stand and look up to heaven and say, God, your word is boring. You are boring. Now, I understand that because many try to read through the Bible and they begin with Genesis and they get through Genesis and then Exodus and then they hit Leviticus. Ooh, it's like hitting the slog, a mud pile, and suddenly all of your motivations go dying down. Like, ooh, who could get through Leviticus without quitting? So in our study today, as I challenge you to read the Bible, I'm challenging you to begin not with the Old Testament, begin with the New Testament. And you can read through the entire New Testament in 260 days by reading one chapter every day of your life. Now, that's not too bad. Most of us can take that. Most of us can swallow that pill. Most of us can take that medicine. And every day, open the Word. And I've given you a guide for that. We're beginning in Mark. If you've not begun, you can catch up this week and read through Mark. And then we follow through. In 260 days, by the middle of September, you have read all through the New Testament. That's thrilling. These are things that are important to God. Man, I could preach overtime today because I got several other passages I want to show you. Write this one down. Deuteronomy chapter 28. When we talk of blessed is the man, God gives the blessed is the man in Deuteronomy, which is, you know, one of those old passages you can't find in your Bible because it's not marked, and I've marked it in my Bible and I'm having trouble finding it. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, I've got it all marked up because I discovered this many years ago. And I said, wow, this is God's blessing. God says, it's an extension from Deuteronomy 6. And he comes to Deuteronomy 28. And he says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and follow him carefully. What does that mean? That means every day you read from God's word. Every day you prioritize it. Every day you're reading about it. You're talking about it in your home. You're writing it upon your doorpost. You put signs around the house. You put it on your refrigerator. It doesn't say refrigerator in the Old Testament, but that's what it means. You publish it wherever you put things in the house. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands. That means all his word, his precepts, his rules. And I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the voice of the Lord. This is a promise to every child of God. God says all these blessings are going to overtake you. That's the Hebrew word. They're going to catch up to you. They're going to overtake you. They're going to flood you if you obey the word of God. You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd, the lambs of your flock. The basket and kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant the enemies will rise up against you, will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing upon your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land. Jump to verse 11. And the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb and the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain upon your land in season and bless all the work of your hands. And you will lend to many nations and not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to his commands, the commands of the Lord your God, I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and not at the bottom. Isn't that fantastic? God says, this is my blessing for the people. Blessed is the man who does these things. Blessed is the man who delights in the word of God. What do you delight in? What do you delight in? I've been trying to eat less, and it's not working, but I'm trying to eat less, and it's very difficult during the holiday season. But I got through the holiday season, and we threw out a lot of our cookies, a lot of the things that we made to eat because there's just too much sugar in it. But there's something inside me that craves chocolate. It's not an addiction. It's my nature. God created me that way. When I go without chocolate, I get desperate. And this week I got desperate. I had gone out to get ice cream for Marilyn because she was sick and she wanted some. And she said, vanilla's fine. I hate vanilla. So I got the vanilla, strawberry and chocolate and, you know, all mixed up. But I watched her eat that and I go, oh, man. I got to have my chocolate with peanut butter swirls. And she sent me to the grocery store to get milk. And in the process of getting milk, I found ice cream, dark chocolate with peanut butter swirls. Oh, man, I had to have that. I grabbed that. It was on sale. $2.98. Oh, awesome. I should have bought 10 of them. But I bought what I needed and got in the car and started driving home, and I realized I forgot to buy the milk she sent me for. But I'll tell you, when I take that chocolate, I put that in my mouth, it's love it, love it, love it. I delight in it. There's something wonderful about it. It's hard for me to stay away from it because I love it so much. God says, I want you to fall in love with the Word of God, to delight in it. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will, whatever you desire, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Jesus wants us to delight in him and delight in his word. When somebody comes up to you and says, Happy New Year, does that actually make you happy? Does it in any way transform what the year is going to be? No. But here in this passage, God gives you the secret of a happy new year. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk according to the world, but walks according to God's word, who delights in it. And the second thing he says is meditates on it. Now, he's not talking about Eastern mysticism, in which they do the lotus position sitting with the crossed legs. I will not try that. Crossed legs and you hold your hands in a certain way and go, That's not meditation of Scripture. That's emptying your mind of everything, and that's a dangerous thing to do. When God speaks of meditation, he's always talking about meditate on my word. That is, get the word going through your brain. Get the word flooding your heart and your mind. Meditate on the word. Think about the word. We need to fix our mind on what God is saying and let it seep into us. So the meditation is taking some part of that word. Every chapter that you read, there's some verse in there that God wants to speak to you about. So take that verse and then think about it. Don't just read through it quickly and say, that's done. Boom. Move on to the next. Take some time to let it soak in you. Let it seep into your heart. And let Jesus speak to your heart. That's what meditation is. It's not listening to nothing. And it's not listening to your own heart, because your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Listening to the Word of God. Have you read it? You think about it and you let God speak to you through it. The third thing he says is the man that delights in his word meditates on it day and night. That's important. It's talking about discipline, the discipline of reading God's Word. I've already read to you Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he says, impress this on your children. Talk about them at home. Walk around on the road and talk about them before you go to bed. And then when you get up in the morning, bind them to your hands, your foreheads, and write them on the walls and your doors. Wow, that's a lot of stuff to do with the Word of God. And most of us are not doing any of this or nothing even close to this. We're not even reading the Word of God. So it's not night and day. I want to challenge you to do what God says about the Word of God. We should be reading it. We should be studying it. We should be memorizing it, meditating on it, doing it, and sharing it with others. So here's my challenge to you for 2003. Will you join me in the next 9 months? As a matter of fact, I think the deadline is September 14th. It's my birthday. When we finish, I want you all to give me a birthday present. Just tell me you've read through the New Testament. But I want to challenge you. Take the Word of God. Follow the pattern we've given to you so you don't get bored and bogged down. But begin reading one chapter a day. Now, some of you are retired and you've got lots of time and you can read a lot more chapters than that. I have read through the Bible, but I find if you do the whole reading of the Bible in a year, that's a lot of stuff. And you have to go 80 miles an hour to get it all digested. And then you're not soaking in it. But if you read one chapter a day, you have a chance to soak in it. So I challenge you, take a chapter a day. Every week when you come to church, I'm going to have the list of what you're supposed to read that week to follow those chapters. So you keep being reminded of it. And I'm going to be doing it myself and going through and keeping a journal. That's the second thing I would say. Just not only read it, but keep a journal. I know that's difficult for some people. A journal is nothing more than a notebook. And you keep the day of the week. And you write, I usually write the weather, how I'm feeling, and then whatever scripture I read, or whatever God spoke to me. That's a good thing to do because you're ingesting it. So read a chapter a day. And when you read that chapter a day, look for one verse in that chapter that stands out to you that God uses to speak to you. In your insert, I have given you that wonderful acronym, Pepsi. And I know some of you like Coke. It doesn't work with Coke, but Pepsi works. And there's two P's in it, and you can mix those up. You look for a promise. Is there a promise in the Word of God? Is there E, an example to follow? P, is there something to pray about or a prayerful insight? S, is there a sin to avoid? And I, is there an instruction to follow? Very simple. Keep that little note in your book, in your Bible, and then ask yourself after every chapter, okay, what's in here that I can glean out of and take away? Because what you're doing when you read the Word of God is you're letting God breathe into you. God says His Word is life and it is health. And as we read it, He breathes into us the breath of life. And finally, the conclusion of Psalm 1 is, He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Isn't that a great promise? God says he knows the way of the righteous. He's watching. That's what he means in that last verse when he says he knows the way of the righteous. He recognizes how you're walking. He's looking at whether you're walking with the world and the ways of the world or whether you're walking with God and the ways of God. And so he gives us his promise. You will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth your fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Well, I'd love to take the time to talk about the leaf and their fruit, but we'll do that in another sermon. I want to close with another scripture that God gave to Joshua. Moses is dead. Joshua takes over, and he's intimidated to lead 2 million people. And God says to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great success." So I lay the promise before you. The promise of God is blessing. And I really lay the challenge before you to delight in the Lord, meditate on His Word, and do it day and night. Now maybe you can't read the whole chapter. Well, read some in the morning and some at night. Or you could sit down, if your family ever sits together for a meal, and every day read that chapter as you sit at the meal. It's a wonderful way to get the Word of God into you. So I challenge you, as God's people, as my church family, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, let's read the Word of God together. Let's let the Word of God seep into our veins and to change our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the Word of God. So many gave their lives to translate this Bible into English that we can understand it and we can have it and read it. And Lord, every one of us have Bibles in our home. Every one of us have it readily available for us. But forgive us, Lord, for neglect of the Word of God. Forgive us for loving other things more than we love you. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Teach us, Lord, to day by day look into the Word of God. And I pray that you would give us growth and strength and fruit and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song is number 340, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. Let's stand as we sing, number 340.